In the meantime, organizations from across the Great Lakes region are converging in Milwaukee for Great Lakes Week. Great Lakes journalist and commentator Gary Wilson is at this year's conference. Wilson's a member of the Society of Environmental Journalists and currently writes for Great Lakes Echo. Gary, welcome back to Current State.
Hey, Mark. Good morning. It's always good to be with the people from mid-Michigan.
It's great to have you back. What's the atmosphere like at this conference? Is everyone playing nice with one another?
Well, for the most part, they are, Mark. For the most part, there was a little bit of tension yesterday when the subject of water diversions came up, diverting water from Lake Michigan to the town of Waukesha. We've talked about that a little bit in the past. That always gets people's hackles up a little bit. But for the most part, there's a collaborative spirit here.
Remind us why Waukesha needs Great Lakes water from their point of view. Why is that the case, and why is divergence so controversial?
Yeah, the Waukesha needs water. Whether they need Great Lakes water is the question to be resolved. They're under that EPA mandate to find a new water source because their wells are contaminated with radium. And this has been playing out over a number of years, actually almost 10 years. But they're right at the cusp. Waukesha has determined that the Great Lakes and Lake Michigan are the best source of water, but they're outside of the Great Lakes Basin, just by a few miles. But if you're out, you're out. So they have to make an application for Great Lakes water, justify the need, so they can divert water, about 10 million gallons a day. And that has to be approved by all of the Great Lakes states. If one governor in a Great Lakes state says no, then they can't have the water. So the bar is pretty high, and the stakes are pretty high for not only for Waukesha, but for the region, because this will be a precedent-setting request. So if this gets a tough review, then people that come after Waukesha, they can expect a tough review in that Great Lakes Compact that's meant to keep the water in the basin. Will have teeth. If it's not a tough review, then the compact could be at risk. So a lot of discussion about that in Milwaukee. It's top of mind.
What were there particular opinions aired yesterday that you can share with us?
Yeah, it boils down to the real question here is how much water Waukesha needs. Waukesha is asking, like I said, for 10 million gallons a day. They've made a case for that. And they provide a lot of supporting material. But others and the people with strong opinions and in positions of a lot of responsibility, they say that Waukesha's need really isn't that much, that they're using Great Lakes water to support economic growth and suburban sprawl, and that doesn't fit with the intent of the Great Lake Compact. And it doesn't take very long for voices to be raised, professionally so, but voices to be raised. The gentleman, Dan Dukniak, who runs the Waukesha Water Facility, he made a presentation yesterday to the Great Lakes Commission, which is really the governor's representatives from around the region, and he did a good job of making his case, but when it was time for Q&A, hard questions started coming. So, and that's only going to intensify in the next months.
One other pretty important topic is this recommendation that governments build structures in strategic points around the Great Lakes to, I take it this is to slow down the amount of water getting out of the Great Lakes. Do I have that correct?
Yeah, pretty much, Mark. The structures would be in mostly in the St. Clair River to potentially reduce the outflow from Lake Huron. If you're up in the Georgian Bay in Lake Huron, those folks up there are very concerned. The lake levels are low, and they're losing shoreline quickly and beachfront. And this has been playing out for quite some time. There's a lot of discussion about that here. There is no silver bullet.
Is there any kind of emerging consensus from your point of view, Gary?
No, there's not. The camps are the governments of the U.S. and Canada need to do something, and these man-made structures would be a potential solution, although they're controversial in themselves. And then there's the other side of it is, hey, the lakes go up and the lakes go down, and there's not a whole lot that man could or should be doing about it. And I don't see, I see no consensus on that, Mark. It's going to play out over a long period of time.
Lana Pollock, who is a figure that a lot of our listeners know about, formerly of Ann Arbor, is U.S. chair for the commission. She refused to sign plans to build these structures because of the plans, and I'll quote, insufficient emphasis on climate change and the need for governments to pursue adaptive management strategies in the basin. I take it she represents one of the sides that resists the structures. What does she call? What is it that she's calling for when she says insufficient emphasis on climate change?
There is a consensus on the cause of the low lake levels, the primary cause, and that's the evaporation of the diminished ice cover, which has led to evaporation of so much of the lakes. Her view is that we can talk about man-made structures. They're going to be expensive. We don't really know if they're going to work or not. But that's putting the emphasis in the wrong place. This is a climate change issue from her perspective, and in the short term, cities and areas around the lakes need to learn how to adapt longer to the lower lake levels because it's only likely to get worse. And longer term, we need to do things, on the greenhouse gas side to reduce emissions. That's the only long-term fix. She didn't believe that her fellow commissioners gave that enough emphasis on in the report that they issued to the two governments. And I had asked her a couple months ago just about that, and she said that she wasn't going to sign it. She said there's a lot of good information in the report, but she wasn't going to sign it just for the sake of a unanimous report.
Well, what additional measures does Lana Pollock support? Is it clear what kinds of measures she does support to address these longer-term climate change concerns?
Well, her and another executive, David Ulrich, who leads the Great Lakes and St. Lawrence Cities Initiative, which is a group of mayors, they're really kind of beating the bushes here this week to talk about getting people to focus more on climate change. That's really their
but how?
Mantra.
Do they go into detail as to how?
No, they don't. And it's delicate because climate change has got a lot of political baggage that comes with it. And automatically, the discussion kind of gets diverted about climate change, and it's a tough sell sometimes, depending on the venue.
Gary, do you feel the people at this conference are talking about the right issues, or do you think there are other pressing issues that are arguably being neglected?
Asian carp is not big on the agenda this year. We talked about that a little bit yesterday. The Asian carp problem hasn't gone away. It's just as posing just as big a risk as it has in the past, but one of the risks is people have short attention spans. They can focus on and this includes agency people, not-for-profits, the environmental folks. You know, you have a hyper-focus on something for a while, and then people get burned out. That doesn't mean that, good work isn't happening about Asian carp, but it's not top of mind here. And last year in Cleveland, that's all anybody wanted to talk about. So, we have a risk of always coming up onto the new next best thing and forgetting about the work that's left undone.
Very interesting. Great Lakes journalist and commentator Gary Wilson there. Gary will be back with us at the end of the month to review some of the top stories from around the Great Lakes Basin. Gary, thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Bye-bye.